In this on-demand world in which we live, where we arrange things to fit in with our busy schedules, there's one thing, the timing of which we simply cannot choose. And that, as it turns out, is the most important thing of all. Hi, I'm Bernie Diamond. Great to be back with you again. Today we're going to take another look at your eternity from a different perspective. And do stick with me, because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about our latest life application booklet. It's called Three Things I Absolutely Must Do Before I Die. I'd love to send you a copy to help you get ready for your eternity. Don't know how you are in your life, but I'm one of these hyper-organized people. I have a to-do list with more items on it than I can possibly do that sits on my computer, and I'm constantly updating it. My diary is also on my computer and replicated on my mobile phone. It's planned to within an inch of its life, with different color codes for different types of activities. And what I tend to do is I tend to plan my time to achieve maximum throughput. My wife Jackie, who also works in the Ministry of Christianity Works, sometimes finds that a bit frustrating. She'll suggest this or that, and I'll quickly sift it through my priorities, the priorities I've set for today and for tomorrow, and if it doesn't make it onto the priority list, it just doesn't happen. Now, I know we're not all quite as super disciplined with our time. It's just in my nature and in my DNA to be that way. But more and more in this world, we're seeking to master this most precious of commodities, time. Take today's younger generation, say Generation Y. Why has the iPod become such a vital tool in their world, or the mobile phone with the MP3 player on it? Well, because then they can listen to the music they want to listen to, when they want to listen to it, and where they want to listen to it. We call this on-demand. That's why mobile devices are becoming so popular right across the world. Instead of waiting for a radio station to dish stuff up, we do it for ourselves, on demand, music, podcasts, whatever it is. It's all about taming time. I think back to the good old days when letters used to take days to travel from one person to another, and it took days to respond. These days we use SMS on the phone, or MSN Messenger on the PC, or Skype. And because of those things, the pace of life has sped up. We do more, we pack more in. Even kids these days in many parts of the world sit in their bedrooms with broadband internet, chatting away to their friends around the world. While I was preparing this program, I was interrupted with a video call from the US, one of our team there, to chat about a few things. The world has changed. More and more, it's on demand. Time's become our servant rather than our master. We schedule things when it suits us. And one of the things that really doesn't suit us is this idea that Jesus could be coming back, the second coming, the end of life and civilization on this earth as we know it. A day of judgment, which we looked at yesterday on the program. No. See, Jesus coming back definitely does not fit with my plans or your plans. We have things to do, places to go, people to see. We have our priority lists, don't we? And so even God has to fit in our plans. I was speaking with a pastor of a new church that's starting up in our area, and we were talking about when would be the best time to have a weekly service. Saturday or Sunday? Well, definitely not in the morning. No, young people don't do mornings. Sunday night's not good. People are going to work on Monday morning, and they probably want to rest up Sunday night. Saturday during the day, well, everyone goes shopping. Saturday night, people go out. That kind of leaves Saturday afternoon or Sunday afternoon. Now, they're all perfectly valid considerations when you're starting up a new church in an area. You want to meet at a time when people are likely to want to come. But do you see what's going on here? Because there are so many other things crowding our schedules, we're squeezing in worshipping God into a time that suits us. Even God is having to fit in with our on-demand world. That's a scary thought. But more and more, I ask people who believe in God, God-fearing believers, when do you spend quiet time with your God each day, time in prayer, time in His Word, time resting in Him and learning from Him and growing in Him? And the answer is an embarrassed silence. People aren't making the time because of the razzmatazz of a self-centered, on-demand world where you and I are the center of our respective universes. Well, you know, God just has to make do. He has to fit in. Let's change the perspective for a minute. Let's put the shoe on the other foot. Remember that childhood game, hide and seek? Whoever was in would bend over and face the wall and cover their head with their arms and count to 10 or 20 or whatever the number was they had to count to, while the other kids went and hid. And then, when the count was over, the kid who was in would stand up, look around, and yell out at the top of his or her voice. What would they yell out? Coming! Ready or not! Didn't matter if you hadn't run far enough to hide. Didn't matter if you'd found a good spot to hide or not. The hunt was on, whether you were ready or not. And that's exactly how it is with Jesus coming back, the second coming, the day of judgment. Listen to this. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, concerning the times and seasons, brothers and sisters, you do not need to have anything written to you, for you yourselves know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And have a listen to what Jesus had to say about his second coming, Matthew chapter 24, beginning at verse 35. He said, "Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day and the hour no one knows, neither the angels of heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. For as the days of Noah were, so will be the coming of the Son of Man. For as in those days before the flood they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, until the day that Noah entered the ark, and they knew nothing of the flood that came and swept them all away, so too will be the coming of the Son of Man. Then two will be in the field, one will be taken up, and the other one will be left. Two women will be grinding meal together, one will be taken up, and the other one left. Keep awake, therefore, for you do not know on what day your Lord is coming. But understand this, if the owner of the house had known in what part of the night the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and would not have let his house be broken into. Therefore, you also must be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an unexpected hour. Who then is the faithful and wise slave whom his master has put in charge of his household to give the other slaves their allowance of food at the proper time? Blessed is the slave whom his master will find at work when he arrives. Truly I tell you, he will put that one in charge of all his possessions. But if that wicked slave says to himself, 'My master's delayed,' and he begins to beat his fellow slaves and eats and drinks with drunkards, the master of that slave will come on a day when he does not expect him, at an hour that he does not know. He will cut him to pieces and put him with the hypocrites, where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." See, we may well have arranged our world to serve us. We may well have everything coming together on our handheld mobile devices. We may well be living under the delusion that God is happy to fit in to meet with us at times that suit us. But none of us knows the day or the hour that he will return, or the day or the hour that our life on this earth will be snatched away from us. And when our life here on earth ends, one way or another, it'll be too late. My friend, are you ready? Is your faith in Jesus, the Son of God? Are you living out a new life, the new relationship with the Son of God in your life? Because it doesn't matter how well we organize our time. It doesn't matter how much we've managed to get the world to revolve around us. My friend, Jesus is coming. He's coming, ready or not. We only get one crack at this life. And I don't know about you, but I'd like to make sure that mine counts for something. I want to make sure that the life that I lead and the life that you lead take us to the eternal destiny that we're all hoping for. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet. It's called 3 Things I Absolutely Must Do Before I Die, and it's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you lay hold of the life, the eternal life, that Jesus came to bring. And at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you apply God's Word right into your realities. So, to request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thank you so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow, with a different perspective.